Hey everybody, and welcome to the 150th episode of Frank About Health. What you've just seen right now is that this show is dedicated to the memory of Rita Gray, a very dear friend of mine and kind of a silent partner since I started the show back in 2016, to be exact. However, that being said, in 2021, I had come back to talkradio.nyc when we were all on lockdown because of COVID. And after the first, I think, 6 months of the show, it was my pleasure to meet Phyllis Quinlan, who's joining me today on this special episode, because we're going to be paying tribute to a little clip and further clips of the very documentary that will be released on YouTube in August. I've been talking about it for about a year now, but now it'll finally come to light. And so you'll get a chance to see clips from the documentary, but we're also going to pay tribute to not just Rita and to what Phyllis and I have been able to build during 2022 and 2023, but we're also showing how we have been acting post-COVID, and we're also going to show what we are going to be doing to continue advocating. What began as a thought of how to remove the stigma from epilepsy has evolved into a whole narrative of how we can advocate for each other in any form of caregiving. Whether it is caregiving or whether it's dealing with pandemics or illnesses that have new cures, artificial intelligence, syndromes, mental health issues, the list pretty much goes on. We are faced, especially in today's culture, with a lot of challenges, misinformation, as well as disruptions that were not anticipated, but that we have already been pre-warned when we were going through COVID. So now we have the skill set. And at least this show has evolved into a platform that is going to provide the resources for all the listeners and viewers that have been with me for now 150 episodes. But at the same time, Phyllis and I are going to provide during this show, not just the tributes, but the resources to be on the lookout for right here on Frank About Health and on other forms of media that I will be transmitting. That being said, Phyllis, it has been an interesting year, to say the least. And then, of course, the 3 years prior, there have been the ups and the downs. But I got to tell you, honestly, in looking at the documentary and even in looking at the catalog of shows, if it wasn't for you, I don't think the show would have lasted 150 episodes. I think it would have ended by year two. That would be my own honest opinion. But welcome to celebrating 150 episodes of Frank About Health.
Well, I wouldn't miss it. Okay, number one, thank you for those kind words. It's very generous and kind of you to say, but This is your podcast. This is your show. This is all you, Frank. And I'm happy to be here to support you and to offer my two cents when it's asked for. But this is your program, and congratulations on your 150th episode.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
I know that we have a lot to talk about, especially in segments 2, 3, and 4. So I think that for everyone out there, you'll get a chance to see a little bit about the past. Mm-hmm. But the main focus of understanding that is that foundation will be discussed at length on the actual documentary when I release it on YouTube. The date is still pending, but it'll be announced by next week. So that being said, I think we're ready for the first one or two segments of the documentary. Take it away.
Frank was introduced to Phyllis Quinlan, whom he very quickly developed a powerful business relationship with.
We were introduced by a mutual friend, Sam Leibowitz. I had met Sam at a networking group, and he was lovely. And during one of the breakout sessions of the networking group, I told him that I was a registered nurse and also a professional coach, very much interested in working with people who are professional and family caregivers, but of course all people who were struggling with trying to untie the knot of COVID, and of course, you know, in need of either life coaching or personal coaching. And as soon as I told him I was a nurse, he was like, I need to introduce you to someone. So I was like, sure, because that's what networking is all about, right? And next thing I know, we're doing a Zoom call together, you know, a meet and greet. And you invited me to be on one of your episodes. I took you up on that wonderful invitation. And here we are.
The two worked together on a two-hour Share the Care panel.
There is the academic bucket, and then there is the industry of healthcare. And boy, do they contradict each other. So as a consultant who goes into healthcare organizations, I have actually been asked by the people who have hired me, why do I need to hire you to teach my nurses how to be compassionate? And my response to that essentially is, were you here in the late 90s when managed care infiltrated the business of healthcare? We changed our care model. Yes, yes, I was part of that. I was a champion. I was a leader. Okay. And what was the dominant word? Well, the dominant word was efficiency, more with less, downsizing, right-sizing, business, business, business. And the healthcare industry got taken over by financially focused folks, and it became a business. In the years, 10 years or so, when managed care started and managed care kind of filtered away, I never heard the word caring. I heard the word efficiency. I heard the word do more with less, slicker and quicker. You know, all these things that you might hear on Wall Street or in the back room of a finance, you know, a finance office. So when I said to this person was, you got what you paid for, didn't you? Because you asked people who have a heartfelt connection to human services to stop doing that and to actually become much more efficient and technical and financially minded in order to survive. You were telling them that if you didn't do this, the healthcare industry wouldn't survive.
Not only that, but Frank decided that he wanted to bring Phyllis along for the ride, working with her to make her the co-host of Frank About Health starting in 2022.
All right. That's only the beginning, right?
That's a real walk down memory lane.
Yes. So I know that as part of our planning for this show, we talked about discussing some of the key highlights that are still going on right now as Frank About Health moves forward in 2025. Mm-hmm. What would you like to emphasize most of all for all of us?
I think as we go forward, I would never want us to lose sight of how we started, which was advocacy, advocacy, advocacy. And being, you know, having a mission and purpose to raise awareness, to inform, to stimulate conversation, to ask the good questions, in some cases, ask the hard questions, but to get to people to think and think for themselves. In other words, we're not trying to sway anybody to think this way or that way. I think we've done a really good job of bringing in a variety of perspectives from which people can say, that resonates, didn't know about that, let me learn more about that, and start to grow within themselves about, you know, the topics that we are presenting. And essentially, you know, we're talking about advocacy, about being competent and confident to own your own life and make good decisions for yourself. That's what we're about. And I think we've done that.
Yes, absolutely. And I know that what we were able to evolve, not just in the caregiving discussions, is we were really bringing out an audience awareness in how mental health is really in your own hands. A lot of people, I believe, probably pre-COVID more than anything, were believing that the healthcare system was robust enough to provide you with the resources that if you sought them, you found them. And it was never really that simplistic. I mean, it's kind of like COVID exposed what was really missing and all the cracks in the system, if you will. And I know that my own small mission of epilepsy was only the seed of really uncovering all of the conundrums that we face in various healthcare topics. And I think when we all face the point where we're actually caregiving for our parents, like the sandwich generation, as they call it, then you really need to know what those missing elements are. I think right now we have two final one final segment before we close out the segment of this show. So take it away, Jesse. And then when we come back, right, we'll be focused on caregiving, the ultimate mission of this show since its inception. So please stay tuned. Go ahead, Jesse.
At our age, we really have to think about our health. Doctors say a glass of wine a day can extend your life. Cheers. Looks like we're going to live forever.
Betty White is the greatest boss on earth. She's wonderful. She's kind, was wonderful and kind and just and fair. And I was working with her on a show called Betty White's Off Their Rockers, and we did pranks on young people. And I had a great time doing the show. Betty basically was like our leader, and she would send us out on pranks for young people. And I had a great time working on it. It's part of my dream job as an actress. I want to be able to work short days, not have to memorize a lot of lines, get to improvise a whole bunch of stuff, and just have fun. So that was my experience with Betty White. Working was just fun. I looked forward to looking to it every time I was going to be on the set.
Making another tribute, this time to the hardworking nurses during the pandemic and beyond.
Oh, yeah, and you're so welcome. But speaking about videos and knowing the fact that you are a nurse, we have a surprise for you and for everyone else right there to celebrate Nursing Appreciation Month. So take it away, Dylan.
She can cure with a smile. She can heal with her hands. She can ruin your high with 0.2 of Narcan. And she only sips Snapple where Jayco can't see. She's wise like a doc, but she's always a nurse to me. She can lead you.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your Conscious Consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Branku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a purpose-driven individual looking for deeper healing, clarity, and growth? Welcome to the Expansion Room, a transformative space for purpose-driven individuals. I'm Siobhan Lurice, host, licensed therapist, and coach. Join me every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
By Frank's courage to talk about his chronic health situation. And again, to find a way to live with seizure activities and live with epilepsy. You are not epileptic. You are living with epilepsy.
Right.
And to take that fact and decide I'm going to thrive in life. This is a part of my life. It's not defining me. It's not who I am. It's a part of me. but I'm going to use that part of me and the challenges that it's giving me to create a forum to help others. Now, as a professional caregiver, that resonated me from day one. I could hear the heartfelt sincerity behind what he wanted the show to be and to become. And it just spoke to me. It spoke to me as a coach. It spoke to me as a registered nurse. And I also felt that it was time to use this medium to try to reach more people with the messages of hope and of course the information, and raise the sense of awareness that was possible because we had this forum.
Okay, so that's what we're doing in this section. We're catching up to the now. But how did we get here, Phyllis? We got here by discussing caregiving. And I know even that conversation continues. It continues in news media every day. It continues in your work. It continues on various episodes of the show. You and I had spoken with Marshall Runge, which I know we're going to feature later on this show. But the thing that I wanted to ask you, right point blank, is caregiving really has to be understood of how you care for others while at the same time caring for yourself. And most people seem to have lost that part of the equation. Is that fair to say?
That's more than fair to say. In fact, I will say the first thing you do is care for yourself so that you have something to be able to care for others with. And we've had that butt backwards for a long time. So right. That what happens is people continue to give and give and give, and then they give some more, and they ruminate and they worry. And of course they're doing this out of, you know, love and unconditional love at that. And they're trying to do the best they can to take care, probably holding down a family as well, and maybe even a job. And, you know, before you know it, you're starting to act in a manner you don't even recognize yourself. You could actually like wash your face, look in the mirror, and not know who is looking back at you, because you have allowed your compassionate nature to be used up. So
yes.
What's really important for those of us who are family caregivers, intermittent caregivers, just good neighbors and good people, and most of all, professional caregivers, is that we have to understand our compassionate nature is a gift from the universe. And you have to treat it as the precious gift that it is. Mm-hmm. And you therefore have to take really good care of yourself so that it doesn't become something too painful to access. You don't want to be worn out caring. You want to be able to ask for help. You want to be able to get respite care when that is necessary. You need to put your own oxygen on first.
Yes.
To take care of others. And, you know, it's really important to do that. What I'm concerned about, Frank,
mm-hmm.
is that, you know, with the recent events in Washington and the persistent uncertainty of not knowing what's next as far as healthcare coverage is concerned, what will be in 2026, what will not be in 2026, what can we count on, what can't we count on? I think what we have to do in the face of uncertainty is what we do, as I've always done it as emergency department nurses, prepare for the worst and hope for the best.
Right.
So I think that we have to start to prepare and look at caregiving as almost a secondary part-time job, in the sense of it not of taking it quite seriously and making a list of things to do and really making sure that we have our caregiver ducks in a row. I think mm-hmm. more and more of the responsibility of caring for our aging parents or our children who need chronic care, whoever needs chronic care, I think more and more of that responsibility is going to fall on the family, because government subsidies and government support is uncertain.
Correct.
So when it is uncertain, that means that you need to get ready and prepare for as much as you can. And if things turn out to be, well, that was all for nothing because, you know, everything is the way we need it to be, then that's wonderful. But my concern is that people will get blindsided with thinking that in 2026, what's available in 2025 will still be available. And it's not.
Correct. In fact, you had asked me to issue a disclaimer based on the fact that it is all related to the government and that it is so unpredictable. It's like, I don't know if even what we're talking about right now is going to change within the next hour. So let me just read it out of formality, but at the same time, it emphasizes exactly what you just said. Mm-hmm. Due to current events, it's more important than ever that families seriously understand that the responsibility of caregiving is going to fall even more on their shoulders now that governmental support is even more in doubt. My message, be prepared. Mm-hmm. And hopefully Frank About Health going forward with episode 151 next week will help in the preparation as I continue to put out shows with thought leaders and influencers that are doing the very thing in not deflecting, but reacting and putting up solutions to what is being kind of carved away from government legislation that has just been passed. All right.
And I think that's it. Mm-hmm. And so in that vein, let's start talking about what do you do when you find yourself to be an adult who is now caring for aging parents? They may be frail, they may not be frail. You also, I was reading an article just today that the largest growing segment of family caregivers are millennials. Okay, so millennials are now in their late 40s. Mm-hmm. And of course, younger, but they may find themselves with parents who have chronic diseases or need care or have been widowed, you know, that are left alone. They may find themselves in situations where they are now going to become the new generation of sandwiched caregivers, meaning they have frail elderly family to care for or consider, and yet they are still raising their own family. Mm. Well, that used to be the label they gave the baby boomers, but now, you know, it's starting to become, it's following the millennial generation and the gens and the Gen X's. So the first thing to do, all right, is absolutely sit your family down and be proactive. The best way to care for your family is to make sure they don't have an injury or they don't have an untoward event. So I'd like to just review some things about elder care and, you know, for people who are living at home and some of the things, because there's two reasons why people over the age of 65 get themselves or find themselves in an emergency department. One has to do with safety because they've had a fall and they didn't see that coming. All right. And falls in anybody over the age of 65 can have a lot of consequences. And the other is they've mixed up their medications and now have some kind of reaction. Either they have under-medicated or over-medicated or combined medications that they should not have combined. And now they present to the emergency department. And we have to, of course, treat them and then discharge them, but sort things out. So that said, you know, really what I want to talk about to begin with is a little bit of home safety. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, you know, from the get-go, you really should take a look at your home surroundings. And I know that there are, you know, memories in certain pieces of furniture, memories in certain other objects in the home. And we want to not go in like gangbusters and force people to change things around, but have to have a conversation around maybe rearranging a room because it just makes the room flow a little bit better with less obstacles in the way of getting from one place to another.
Right.
Anything I'm going to suggest today, please do it incrementally. Don't go in like slam, bam, we're going to fix this. This is really something where you have to do tests of change and just easy does it and less is more. And then hopefully at the end of the effort, you know, you're able to make maybe not every change or every, you know, intervention, but you'd be able to make some. So, you know, the first place you want to start really is in making sure that the environment is free of certain obstacles and certain things that really can cause people to trip. When you are getting older, you may be steady on your feet, but your hip joints and your knee joints don't work like they used to. So we don't necessarily trip because something caught on our foot. We trip because we did not pick our foot up fully. So we literally trip over our own feet. Mm. You want to make sure, number one, that if you do have, and all of us over the age of 65 certainly have some arthritis and things of that nature, you know, that you do take your arthritis medication, you do take your anti-inflammatories and things so that you are a little bit more limber and fluid so that you can walk. If you need an assistive device, please use your assistive device. Right. That's a very big point. But things like, you know, making sure that rugs are not curling up at the edge, you know, that there isn't a spill that didn't happen, that there aren't throw rugs or electrical cords or extension cords around. But really take a look as if you were trying to say if there was a toddler in the house, what could they hurt themselves on? And that I don't mean that in any kind of disrespect for an elder parent. I mean that you have to be that simplistic sometimes because we get so used to the environment, we don't see what we're really looking at. You right. know, the next thing is you just want to make sure that, you know, phones are accessible, that, recharging cords are accessible and that people don't have to get up and try to find, you know, something. So there, if there's a favorite chair people sit in or a favorite area, that it's tooled up, so to speak, with the remote for the TV, a charger for the phone, things that are easily accessible so that, you know, people aren't looking and straining to try to find something. Mm-hmm. If you're in the bathroom, okay, this is where a lot of trouble happens. You want to start to consider grab bars. I recently redid my own bathroom, and I made sure that when we were putting in the tile around my tub, first I purchased a tub that was extremely deep. And the reason I purchased the deep tub is because it's easy for me to sit on that side of the tub. For those people who don't necessarily use a tub, you may want to have a shower chair so that you can sit while you're bathing. And of course, you would have a handheld shower device to help you do that. Of course, you want to have a non-slip mat on the base of your tub, but you want to have grab bars and you want to make sure that people can get in and out of that. If you're thinking of redoing, taking away the tub altogether and putting in a shower, you want to make sure that you find a shower or a contractor that can give you what is known as a no-trip entry into that shower. Real important. Smoke detectors, carbon monoxide detectors, all of these things are extremely vital to make sure, especially, you know, going into the winter months when people want to use space heaters that they may not be using, you want to make sure that they're there. Consider, really start to consider whether somebody needs a medical alert bracelet or a medical alert necklace so that if something untoward does happen, they can actually, you know, ring for their own help, especially if they're living alone. You want to be careful of pets in the sense of, you know, pets, you know, weaving in and out of your, of your legs as you're walking. You want to make sure that when you stand up and start to walk, you know exactly where your pet is and that you don't trip over the pet that happens to be sleeping on your feet.
Right.
Make sure that you're using extended life light bulbs. Make sure that you are using, other devices that will, last for a long time. And so you don't find yourself in a position where you want to get up on a ladder and do something, you know, silly. The other piece that you want to make sure of when we're talking about, again, the second thing that brings people to the emergency department is medication administration.
Yes.
More than likely, if you're over the age of 65, you are taking more than one medication. Okay. So a pill box, a simple $5 pill box can really help so that you sit, you know, one day a week and you fill up, whether that's a Sunday and you're filling up the pill box according to the directions of what you need to do, where you're focused and concentrated and you set yourself up for the week. So as the week progresses, you just need to go in and be able to take Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, whether that's your Monday morning or your Tuesday evening, it's right there. I did that for my parents for years. And went there every Sunday and made sure they were set up for this next week. If I wasn't there, my sister was there. But we made sure that they were taking their medications appropriately and that they had medical alerts on them. So my mother was on a blood thinner because of her irregular heartbeat. And I wanted to make sure she was wearing that medical alert that, God forbid, she fell. And my father needed to call 911. As soon as EMS arrived, they would know she's on a blood thinner, which means that her fall can probably be a little bit more dangerous than
just a simple bump and bruise. Okay, so these things are really, really important. If we go back to the bathroom, one of the things you want to understand is as you get older, you start to lose your perception of color and you start to you see black and white a little bit more.
Mm.
So most of the fixtures in bathrooms are white. And then sometimes you might even have white floors. So that if you think of a white floor and a white toilet, you know, is it possible for you to try to sit on the toilet and miss? It's highly possible for that. I found this out quite by accident in a restaurant when my mother was trying to go to use the toilet. I was in the stall helping her and I was right there and she started to go off to the side. And I said to her, where are you going? Whoa, 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 whoa. And she said, oh, I didn't see it. And that's when I realized there was nothing there to create depth perception.
Right.
So they may not be the most design-friendly choice for your bathroom, but having a dark color toilet seat, whether it's brown or black, can really help for you to be able to focus on that toilet seat so that you are sitting yourself safely. It sounds like a little thing, but it turns out to be a big one.
We're going to have to take our break. Behind the scenes, we were going to show another segment. Let's skip that. We're going to go to the final segment that we planned at the end of the show, and we'll just go right into segment three as planned. Thanks again, Jesse, for all your support. But we need to move forward as we're evolving.
Absolutely.
But you did an actual list that I think needs to be seen. So I wanted it to continue the way it is. After all, we are moving forward. And yes, everybody who wants to see the in-depth documentary can see so on YouTube when I announce the date over the weekend. That all being said, please stay tuned right here on talkradio.nyc and on honor of on all of our socials as we celebrate Frank About Health at 150. We'll be back in a few.
Misalignment within your sales team or with a client stalls deals and creates unnecessary friction for you and the client, resulting in up to 37% lower win rate. If you're in pre-sales, sales, sales management, or sales enablement, and you'd like to increase revenues, win rate, margins, client satisfaction, and stay competitive, this show is for you. Hi, I'm Art Fromm, host of the Making Seamless Sales Show. Please join me live Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I'm Linda Marsanico. The A Train to Sedona is a memoir about my journey to love and compassion. It's also the name of my new broadcast on Wednesdays at 12 noon. When we are spiritual, we embrace possibilities and ideas, which strengthen our mind, body, spirit, health, and wisdom. On the A Train to Sedona broadcast, I plan to interview guests who embrace these expansive practices. Join us on Wednesdays at 12 noon on Talk Radio New York City.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
One of the other things you allude to or speak about in chapter 10 is perhaps it's time for, you know, policy changes, significant policy changes that might bring in the federal government even a little bit more. And I know that especially in this day and age, it might be a little controversial. I was wondering if you were alluding to the Yale study from 2020 that showed that there would be a significant healthcare savings and healthcare improvement if we had a Medicare for all, that it would lower cost, it would make pharmaceutical products much more reasonable because we could negotiate differently, it would make access different, and are those some of the policy changes you're speaking about in Chapter 10? And if not, what are exactly what you trying to address?
Well, those are the kind of policy changes I'm thinking about. They have gotten so politicized over many years. So universal health was an approach discussed back in the early 1990s. It got just, you know, tarred and feathered and sent out of town. Mm-hmm. The next version was Medicare for All, which basically the same concept. What I'm going to suggest, what I try to suggest, is what I didn't call it this in the book, but it's basically longitudinal health care, that everybody has some level of health care. And that's perfectly possible. And it doesn't mean that we're going to have governmentized health care for everybody. It means that there's a basal level and people get primary care and they get the medications they need at prices that are reasonable. And when you look around, a lot of different health, a lot of our peers, almost all of them, have some level of this. And I'm going to take one that always surprises people, which is Denmark. Denmark gets great kudos for its federal-sponsored health care. But it, like so many other countries, what's not talked about is that a large portion of the population also buys supplemental insurance on top of that. Mm-hmm. And that's the case almost everywhere. It varies how much in UK and Canada, Sweden, Denmark, other countries. But so it's not saying that the government needs to take over all of healthcare. It's saying that what the government does is provide, it's able to look at the long run. So the government doesn't see an ROI on building highways. It doesn't see an ROI in a year or two. It doesn't see an ROI in providing clean water.
Incredible. You know, it's funny. The way that we plan the show versus the way it comes out, I think it's better. You know, because, of course, maybe with the way things have been, all I have is the catalog of shows that I've presented, and I keep reflecting on them. When Marshall Runge was a true pivot point, I think, for both of us. You know, we were supposed to show, actually, you know, different organizations that we've worked with, Judy Mandel being one of them, and even some information from Dr. Jennifer Griggs. But they're much, very, very much involved in the very same things that Marshall Runge's talking about, which is all of us are now banding together to do what we can to advocate for healthcare, just like that long list that you provided in the last segment. We need this information because we're not going to get it otherwise. And I think that's part of the challenge that I think at first is like, oh, no, I'm not doing something right. But the reality is by making the mistakes and letting it all come out when it's supposed to is what people need right now, correct?
I think, yes, I agree. Correct. I think we're in some cases, and I know that I would have loved to have had more time to go to suggest more things in the last segment, but you know, there's going to be a rude reckoning with what's going to be available for us in 2026 versus what's available in 2025. And the only thing that I can share is that when we had prior to the great economic decline we had in 2007, prior to that, when I was the chief nursing officer of subacute care facilities and things of that nature, I could work with my discharge planners and we could get home care for people when they were discharged. And it wasn't unusual for us to be able to get people to qualify for 12-hour shifts, 7 days a week. And, you know, the adult children who are responsible for that frail elder person could live their lives. They could go to work and the person was being cared for safely in safe surroundings. When the economic downturn hit in 2007, now leapfrog to 2008, people were looking for that same level of assistance with the discharge of their family, you know, after a broken hip or a stroke or whatever. And that assistance did not, that level of assistance did not, it just wasn't there anymore. And the fact now that the most that people will qualify for and the most that's available is you might get 2 or 3 days of home health care assistance for 4 hours a day. So you might get 12 hours a week, not 12 hours a day. Mm. And I remember my discharge planners being extremely upset that, you know, the families were accusing them of not caring or, you know, not doing their job. And I would have to step in and say, it's not that they don't care. And of course they care. Of course, they're doing their job. The services are no longer available because of the economic crash. I want people to be proactive and ready for what may happen. We don't know what's going to happen, what may happen in 2026.
Right.
So I think we're going to be hit with even more of a reckoning of less support available and more responsibility placed on the individuals.
Right.
And you need to make sure that you've got paperwork ducks in a row, that you are, if your family is still living independently, that you are looking at that environment and making sure it is safe so they decrease the risk of an untoward event happening that could put them in the hospital. Make sure right. their medications are being taken care of. Make sure they have support to, you know, in terms of a, you know, an emergency necklace or emergency bracelet. Things that we need to put in place. Make sure there's a will. Make sure there is advanced directives. Have the crucial conversation with your parents about what they want and what they don't want.
Right.
You know, most living wills that I see are useless, and or I see advanced directive documents and it says my family knows my wishes. It says nothing else than my family knows my wishes. Mm. And I'm here to tell you, family doesn't know the wishes. And what happens is that there's an argument now, and at a time when a family needs to come together to embrace the care of their frail elder adult or right. child, they right. haven't had the conversation to have peace of mind that that the decisions have already been made by that person. They have already made self-determination decisions. And all mm-hmm. they're asking you to do is ensure that they are carried through. They're not asking you to make the decision for them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They have already made it for themselves. And all you have to do is make sure that they're complied with.
Right.
When you don't have a will and you don't have an advance directive and you don't have these crucial conversations, then you are going to go to the universe and that's just fine. All right. Yes. But your family's going to be left with a mess.
Correct.
And now, that's not okay.
Let's talk about, before we go into our final break, about an individual while on this earth, and is still on this earth, by the way, went through a mess, and it was because of his drive and recovery from sobriety mm-hmm. that he was able to make a complete magnificent success of himself, including with his love of music, the creativity. So we're going to close with the segment of that to exemplify what you're saying, because we all have to be aware of all the necessary paperwork for our seniors, but we're going to show of an individual who really took the bootstraps and made it all happen. He can be a role model and influencer for all of us caregivers as well as advocates. And then we'll go to break and return for our final segment. Take it away, Jesse.
Just yesterday, there is on the John Beyer Spotify playlist, there is a Live a Little Better with all of the songs that had the titles for every chapter. So we have White Room by Clapton. We have Piano Man by Billy Joel. We have I Can See Clearly Now by Nash. We have People by Barbra Streisand. We have all that on the playlist, the 12 songs. And by the way, it was 12. There's 12 chapters in the book, which is a complete accident. That was not meant, you know, I didn't plan to have 12 chapters like there are 12 steps. I did. That was kismet. That was a little, I was like, oh, that's a little scary.
I like that. On Frank About Health, we're not just talking healthcare. We're managing disruption and innovation. Over the last 4 years, I've taken you from epilepsy and COVID to mental health, caregiving, and now the front lines of healthcare transformation. Stay tuned for a healthier future as we bring on the innovators, professionals, storytellers, and advocates who show you how to own your healthcare every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Ready to serve up success with a splash? Hi, I'm Bruce Kramer, a.k.a. the Corporate Cockroach.
I'm the Renaissance Woman, Angie Snowball.
And I'm your strategy doctor, Dr. Navtej Dasanjh, inviting you to serving up success with a splash.
Join us as we shake things up with real talk and real strategies centered around awareness, action, and accountability.
And yes, there really is a cocktail involved. Please join us and sip your way to success.
Serving up success with a splash, where wisdom meets happy hours. Cheers!
Cheers!
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Intentionality is the key to everything in my mind,
yes,
including what we were talking about earlier in regulating our central nervous system, right? We all breathe. If we're not breathing, we're dead, right?
Exactly.
But when you intentionally focus on your breathing and you can shift how you're breathing, you can then shift your central nervous system.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is a hint of who is joining the network starting next Wednesday at my time slot, 5 p.m. Siobhan Laurice, who was on Frank About Health discussing building resilience. And now she has an entire platform defined from there. And speaking about legacies in terms of talkradio.nyc, as well as Frank About Health, my very first guest, Danielle Swanson, has just joined us, I guess, pretty much to commemorate 150 episodes or also to reconnect. I don't think I've seen you in about 6 months, but ironically, we have an anniversary to celebrate. We met 16 years ago, the end of July. You know, actually, end of June.
You're on mute, Danielle. You're on mute.
Yes, I just realized that. Sorry about that. I'm doing it from my phone today, which is brand new for me. Very exciting. So yeah, congratulations, Frank. I'm very excited for you.
Thank you. Thank you. I mean, I'm just thankful, even though, you know, the history of having our share of technical difficulties. Today was not so much technical difficulties, but they actually worked for the advantage of the tribute. I call this episode Frank About Health at 150 tributes. And I think there's another word behind it. I can't think of it right now. But the point is that having live interaction with Phyllis, you know, commemorating what we've done together, having live interaction with you, commemorating Retha, showing segments of the documentary, which you were very much involved in, simultaneously showing what we're doing now and going forward, and advocating using this show, how it evolved from just talking about epilepsy, as we did in episode one, to how we can all work together and collaborate and not only look out for our own health needs, but at the same time use that reserve of energy to do the best caregiving with the right information, which I really am dedicated towards moving Frank About Health forward, starting in episode 151 next week. But I'm glad that I'm able to use this as a tribute point to reflect and also start generating future ideas with people that helped start it with me. So that all being said, I loved exactly what you said, Phyllis, also just now, prior to us showing the clip with John Beyer, that, you know, it's the whole nature of being able to gather all the resources that we need for ourselves and for our loved ones. But I gather one question that was left behind before the break was, what happens when the information you're getting cannot really be tested and you're not sure if it's accurate? What do you do to rely upon the verification before you know it's what you need in your caregiving or in caring for yourself?
Well, I think that's why you need to have a little bit of a caregiver reference tribe around you. You know, you have to read, you know, you have to go to trusted sources on the internet And I'm not talking about, you know, quasi medical things where, you know, people are, you know, trying to act like physicians without having to go to medical school. I'm talking about using reliable resources, you know, things that are posted on websites. The American Medical Association has really taken up the slack of posting a lot of things on their website that the government has taken off of other reliable websites like the CDC and other government agencies. They've really wiped those sites clean of very, very vital patient education and resources. I understand now there's been a court order for them to restore all that information on those various sites, but Lord knows if that will happen or how long it will take. So the American Right. Medical Association website is important. Having a conversation and a relationship with your private physician or your private licensed provider, that might be a PA, might be a nurse practitioner, these are all important things. Make Right. friends with your pharmacist.
Yes.
Absolutely make friends with your pharmacist. Let your pharmacist know that you know something's not quite right with the medication. They can quickly look at what medications you're taking and make sure that you only use one pharmacist. I don't care about sales or anything else like that. One pharmacist will keep you healthy because you have multiple physicians and it is your neighborhood pharmacist that's going to make sure that those medications that Dr. A is ordering are compatible with the medications Dr. B is ordering. And those pharmacists will reach out to those physicians to make sure that they can clarify orders or realize they have ordered redundant medication that could actually wind up with a medication reaction. So multiple doctors, perhaps one pharmacist is absolutely essential to keep you healthy.
Right. And Danny, thanks to your father and your sister who have both been on the show as well, they've been giving not only their own take on sports medicine, as well as social work counseling. I know your sister deals with horse therapy as well. Simultaneously, your father involved in all the financial aspects of healthcare innovation and insurance. I mean, it's an entire ecosystem that I think the last 150 episodes together has brought to Frank About Health. I believe it or not, we're almost over with the show. But that all being said, I just want to again thank you, Phyllis, for helping me run through the narrative of the last 150 episodes. We know that Marshall Runge played a big part in turning the tide for the direction of the show, not to mention what's going on in our government has pushed that tide. So we're trying to do what we can to work with it, not combat it, but work with it. I think going forward, Danny, you and I need to talk about having a reunion show on Frank About Health, maybe in August or September. And then Phyllis, you know, I will be reaching out to you. We have another show on the air coming on at 6 o'clock. We're going to close with the closing credits of our documentary. And then what I'm going to do is, Phyllis, I will call you back as soon as the show goes off the air. And Danny, I will call you back as well. Is that okay?
Sounds great.
All right. But any last minute words before we go to the credits? Because I feel bad that you came in and now it's time to go.
No, that's, I think I pretty much covered it in the short time we had, all that needs to be said for now, when there's always time later.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, what you're seeing on one side of the screen is my first guest, and on the final side, my current and always favorite co-host, Phyllis Quinlan. Thank you, Jesse, behind the scenes for all of this. I want to give a shout out to Sam Leibowitz and Emily Shulman for the last 150 episodes. I want to remind everybody the documentary Being Frank for a Healthy Future will be released on YouTube within a week's time. I will provide more information when that time comes. And ladies and gentlemen, enjoy the end credits, and I will see you all next week. Mm-hmm.
Once you start working with him, you enjoy him so much. You enjoy his mission. You see he's so talented. He has a magnetism about him that even though I was stepping away or stepping aside, I wasn't stepping out.
One of the exciting things about Frank About Health is that he believes in healthcare as I do. He believes there is so much more to physical health. There is so much more to who we are as human beings and the immune system, and he knows this, and which was really exciting. It was really, I've done many, many podcasts, literally hundreds of podcasts, but this was so exciting because he understands there is so much more to health.
I think Frank R. Harrison is a badass. He's one of my heroes. I think Frank's, just his name, right? Being frank about health means that we're talking about things that maybe haven't been talked about before. And the fact that he's a conduit and a creator of those conversations, to me, earns him the term of magician and sage.
Frank is Frank. Frank is one of those kind of guys that he's lived life. He's quirky. He's colorful. He's Frank.
My opinion about Frank, he is an amazing gentleman who really has the heart to bring to light a lot of things that people may be unaware of.
That he is exceptionally generous. I've never met somebody who is so generous with his time and so welcoming. And, you know, he just immediately invites you in. And that is not something you always see. Most people are guarded. You know, most people sort of come to a situation, understandably so, taking a lot of time to build trust. And, but he's such a open book, I think.
Were you an essential worker during the pandemic? If you needed to learn stages of epilepsy, did you depend on advocates? Did you use new innovations to cope with mental and neurological issues? Maintaining high quality of life and keeping good mental health are what we all strive for. I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each week, top healthcare influencers, professionals, and innovators answer these questions and more. Stay tuned on Thursdays at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will continue to be frank about health with all of you.
Hi, I'm Linda Marsanico. The A Train to Sedona is a memoir about my journey to love and compassion. It's also the name of my new broadcast on Wednesdays at 12 noon. When we are spiritual, we embrace possibilities and ideas, which strengthen our mind, body, spirit, health, and wisdom. On the A Train to Sedona broadcast, I plan to interview guests who embrace these expansive practices. Join us on Wednesdays at 12 noon on Talk Radio New York City.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Branku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.